Hi everyone, I'm Scott Brown, and before we dive into today's lessons I learned in law, I just wanted to tell you about our friends over at Beamery. Beamery is a real game changer in the world of talent management, so HR and talent teams should definitely take note. It is trusted with the likes of Accenture, McKinsey, AstraZeneca and Uber, to name a few. Now, this is a great piece of recruitment technology, which is an AI-powered talent platform that will enable you to hire candidates faster, develop the skills of your existing workforce, and increase employee retention. With Beamery, you'll have a complete understanding of your workforce's skills and capabilities, and it's all about building an agile and future-proof team. So check it out. Head over to their website at beamery.com. Hi, welcome to Lessons I Learned in Law. I'm Scott Brown, Managing Director and founder of Heriot Brown In-House Legal Recruitment. This episode is another from our mini podcast series, Inside the Agency, where we open up the doors and you get to find out a bit more about the consultants and people within the team at Heriot Brown who make us tick. It's been a fantastic series so far, where we've learned of the consultants who work across the sector verticals and a bit more about their markets. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Kevin Hunt. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. This is the second time Kevin and I have recorded. I think I was slevering into the mic from the first recording, so got my... Got a telling off, and we're back recording this. So hopefully not too hard on you, Kev. You were gutted to be doing it in the first place. So round two, more pain.
Yeah.
So Kevin's one of the longest serving members of the team. Been working with us for a number of years, dating back to before pre-pandemic times. And he focuses on the heavy industries markets, where he works closely with Martin Evenson. But Kevin, I'll let you, if you give us a bit of a plotted history of your career today.
Yeah, of course, no problem. So I'm the old guy in the team, really. I've got 20 plus, I've stopped counting, years within recruitment. And it spanned various, it spanned across technical and engineering. And before I started working in law, the focus was in subsurface and geoscience for primarily operator oil companies in London. And then obviously when I joined Heriot Brown, I switched to legal, but moved right into the area that I had been working in on a technical side, working in with the same clients. So that kind of stacked up really well for me.
And does that, like, does knowing the lingo of the sectors, how does that translate into legal?
I think it probably doesn't an awful lot, to be honest with you, but I do understand the placement of people and the teams that they work in, so that probably helps, knowing the structures and the background. But the legal side was completely new, so it's kind of balance, I suppose, you know?
Yeah, it must help to know what the... to explain and sell what the company does that they're going into as well, though, from the technical background.
Well, that does make sense. Understanding the technical side really does help understand where a company's going and what they do, kind of thing.
And what got you, so recruitment back in the day, when Kevin first got into recruitment, what was your first experience in recruitment like?
It was very early doors in recruitment. I mean, recruitment back then was, I suppose it really was pure headhunt, because we didn't have the tools that we've got nowadays. When I joined, my very first day in recruitment was working from, I think, a Yellow Pages for client base, and really networking hard to find who the candidates were out there. At the time, it was software engineers, and there was a massive... there was a gap in the market in the UK for software engineers, and going out there and headhunting them with, you know, you didn't have LinkedIn, you didn't have any of the tools that we use now that identify talent. So it really was, you know, a phone and a book with a fax machine. I don't
know. When did things start to change, or where have you seen the biggest changes in recruitment?
But I mean, I think LinkedIn reformed the way recruitment works. And now LinkedIn's sort of everyone's lazy tool for recruitment. Obviously, what we do, we tend to be more focused and more, we work more search than we rely on any kind of tools like that. But yeah, that was a huge change in the market when LinkedIn came along. People didn't really know what they were signing up for, and then it just grew arms and legs and took over the industry.
So in terms of the sectors that you recruit into, Kevin, give us a bit of an overview of that, in placing lawyers and some of the challenges that the clients that you work with face.
Yeah, so I cover heavy industry, so primarily any kind of energy and power roles, including renewables, as well as offshoots from that, where we do recruitment for mining as well. So, at the end of the day, clients are looking for the best candidates they can get on the market. And we know what that looks like when they're trying to do it themselves. They advertise and they get CVs of people that probably just don't count on a shortlist. Our job's to go out there and bring them the talent that matches and the skill set that matches what they're looking for. And that can be quite defined in terms of, PQE, that narrows the market, narrows the search, as well as specific areas and industries. So,
and in terms of those sectors, is there within renewables, energy, mining, related sectors to that, is there a lot of crossover in terms of the candidate pools that you're looking
at? Yes, absolutely. So, a lot of these companies, a lot of the areas they're looking for projects lawyers. So projects lawyers will span across a lot of these industries. If they're of value, then, they're of value to certain different areas as well. So, always keen to talk to good candidates like that and network among them,
And what about the positions that are, I see it a lot, having recruited into that space, but those, general commercial roles or corporate positions or positions maybe that aren't industry specific to those industries, how do they land with candidates in the market?
Well, that's a good question, actually. Occasionally with the older oil and gas type roles where it's hydrocarbons that they're working on, then that can be a bit stale sometimes for some candidates, and they may want to stay away from that. However, we work quite a lot now within renewable energy and sort of low carbon options, and that, you can imagine, that's very attractive. And it's the same skill set almost that crosses over. So when we get a good role on it, it is attractive to all of the candidates that might turn their back a little bit on the energy industry.
Right. And does that feed the pipeline to those, less attractive or household brands, or the right word's escaping me, but the sexier jobs on paper?
Yeah. So, the corporate and commercial roles, there are definitely sexier roles sometimes out there, but the industries that we work in, they are still exciting. They are still very, very interesting. And especially the renewables. But apart from that, a lot of them are they're kind of hybrid, where they're working on several different areas at once. Part of the team might be working on LNG, and the other side they're working within hydrogen and carbon capture. But there still might be some oil and gas involved in the role as well. So, it's a kind of array of skills, and yeah, it's good for someone's CV as well. You can imagine that kind of skill set match.
So for those, so for those non-industry related roles, commercial, competition, corporate positions, how do you open people up to those types of opportunities where they're not the obvious mix?
Fair point. I'll give you an example. I'm working with a major energy company, Blue Chip. They've got a role just now that I'm working on. It's a digital role, so it's IP and IT. And that's the sort of thing that, that's the sort of job that would be really normally quite difficult to get someone to come away from the kind of sexy tech side to have a look at. However, the type of work that they're doing within this role is really interesting. They're working on cutting edge, low carbon, renewable energy solutions, and they're doing all the IP and software sort of IP as well to that role, as well as so many other interesting projects internally. That's the thing, you know, with the, on paper initially, if somebody saw that, they would think, that's not right for me. But it's great to have a conversation with that caliber of candidate and say, actually have a look at this. And it's surprising how interested they become.
Yeah, might not be the most obvious, obvious move for them. You hear that all the time when you speak to general counsels as well from industries perhaps, again, that are not household industries or the companies that roll off your tongue. But you have to look at the job rather than the people you're working with rather than what that business sells, because as a lawyer at the end of the day, you're doing legal work. So it can be more interesting in terms of what the project looks like. Your background in headhunting, what does that bring to the table? What do you feel that brings to the table in our business?
Yeah, okay. Probably the change between Heriot Brown and previously was I did 4 years where I headhunted across electronics industry for engineers and technical kind of high end roles. And the difference between that and working in the legal side is that lawyers are more approachable than the engineer side. So if you have a call with a lawyer, they tend to be open to have a chat. It doesn't have to be about a role. It can be about the market. It can be about the topic or the subject. And that's what we're open to, just having conversations with people and see where matches come. But yeah, with the headhunt, I find that lawyers are definitely easier to speak to, especially the subsurface and geoscience side, where you've got guys crunching numbers in a room somewhere. And not awful good on the phone,
And I guess a lot of the roles that we are working on are offline. So for the in-house space, it's relationship driven from our side. So people tend to be quite happy to be headhunted and spoken to about a role that's specific to them, right?
Yeah, and the other thing is that they do understand that it might be a call and it might initially be a headhunt call, but if it doesn't suit the person, at least they'll get something from it. They'll understand a bit more about the market. They'll understand much more about maybe one of the companies that we're recruiting for, or just general understanding of the market. It's always a plus. And very rarely do we get a negative call with anyone. People are very open to discussion.
And what's the biggest challenge that you have in recruitment now?
Probably that I am very busy, and I run a lot of campaigns parallel, and certainly we've got internal support, but it does keep me really busy. And that's not a challenge; that's a very positive thing, as you can imagine. But we've constantly got really good roles on the go, and because we are slightly different, we tend to make most of the approaches ourselves. So there's a lot of groundwork involved in the recruitment campaign. A challenge that we're always up for. Just draft some people if we're struggling with numbers, but yeah, it's a good thing to have, good problem to have.
Good. And tell us a bit about Kevin outside of work. What makes you tick?
Yeah, I live in Hamilton in Scotland, so I work remotely completely. I drop into London, obviously, for meetings and for client meetings and things, but in general, I'm up here. We married, children are up and gone, I've got grandchildren. What do I do in my life? I like going cruises, we do lots of cruises. I ice skate, I still ice skate, done that since I was 8.
You done a river cruise before, Kev?
No. I feel as if there might be a wee bit of cabin fever on a river cruise. They're smaller and more restricted. I like the bigger ships that we go on. think this is crew 40 coming along, so we've got plenty of them.
40? What's the best boat? The best cruise ship you've been on?
Last year we went on the Wonder of the Seas. It's the biggest, it was the biggest cruise ship in the world. That's phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
Nice one. Well, thanks for sharing the lessons you've learned in working with lawyers and keep up the good work. Thank you for listening. I've been Scott Brown. That was Lessons I Learned in Law Inside the Agency. To listen to more of the podcast or the main series of the podcast, where I sit down with a top legal mind each week, head over to harrietbrown.com/podcast. Until next time, I've been Scott Brown. Thanks for listening.